This is the Book Legion Podcast, where we review thought-provoking books to give our Legionnaires the knowledge they need to dominate the next level of their life.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me on the Book Legion. My name is Tyzer Evans. This week, I'm going to be reviewing The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by Robin Sharma. So this book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, has been out since 1997. It's a fictional book. I was surprised I hadn't heard of it, but I run another podcast called Grind, Sell, Elevate, and several of the guests had recommended me the book. So anytime there's a reoccurring theme, I decided to check it out. The book is based on self-mastery, self-help, self-improvement. It uses the characters to walk you through the different evolution of a man inside the book. So the premise of the book is about a gentleman named Julian, who was a high-powered trial lawyer who had just been crushing it, was really well-known throughout the United States, had a private jet, had a red Ferrari, had big homes all over the place, even had his own private island. And at 53, he ended up having a massive heart attack, boom, in the middle of the courtroom. So this got him to think about, hey man, either you go on this trajectory, you're probably gonna die, or you change the quality of your life. So he set out to India, sold all of his personal belongings, and ends up meeting these sages that are living in the Himalayan mountains. So the book is about these principles that he learned from these sages in the Himalayan mountains. He returns to the United States and starts teaching these principles to one of his disciples when he was a trial lawyer. And so that was what the book is based on, is that he was going to return and he made a promise to his teachers that he would bring this knowledge back to the Western world. So what I'm going to talk about is three of my favorite takeaways from the book. So the first takeaway is all about control, right? So he really talks about your reaction towards circumstances that happened in your life. And I listen to a lot of Sadhguru, and he talks a lot about this as well. A lot of times that events that happen in our lives, the way we respond is completely on us. So what he talks about here is you're not in control of the weather. You're not in control of traffic, right? You're not in control of the moods of others, but you are in control of how you respond to those circumstances. And so oftentimes we have kind of these programmed default set reactions. So someone could cut me off in traffic and it could not bother my wife, but I could completely lose my shit over it, right? That's because of how I viewed the situation, my perception of the situation. I decided to give energy to it, but I also had the choice to not give energy to it. And so I really like this. This is one of the first, this is maybe in the first 30 pages, one of these things that he starts to talk about, and he goes much, much deeper into the principles that he learned, but it's one that I've really had to be conscious of, and I think a lot more of us need to take ownership of, is that you have a choice in the reaction of the circumstance. Now, things are going to happen to you out of your control always, right? But you are in control of how you respond. So how you respond means everything. So if someone cuts you off, again, just go back to that analogy, that could ruin the next hour of my life, the next 3 hours of my life, or even the entire day. Me going to work, talking about, oh, this asshole cut me off, this happened, he should have been paying attention, I hate all the drivers in Houston, right? It could spiral. Or I could just say, maybe that person's having a bad morning, and just go back to listening to my song, right? I have a choice with how I choose to respond and how I choose to give any type of interaction that's outside influence energy. So I think that's just a really important concept to realize. If you're angry or you're upset or you're sad, you're choosing to be so. You also have the choice to be happy or to be joyful or to be grateful for the experience of learning, even if it is something hard and something that you did not want to go through, right? So the principle here is everything is based on perception. You have a choice with how you react to everything. So the second thing they talked about is that most people live within the confines of their own comfort zone. And what was really incredible is they talk a lot about the sages is that they actively sought out to live outside of their comfort zone. So they would do lots of different things to push the boundaries of who they are as people, to put themselves in uncomfortable positions. They talked a lot about if they broke one of their daily disciplines, or they broke a habit or something that they were trying to do, they would walk to this waterfall and they'd put themselves in this waterfall where the water was like freezing. And so it was to reinforce better behavior, to keep pushing themselves outside of their comfort zone when they're trying to instill new habits and daily disciplines. So the more that you regularly move beyond things that are within your comfort zone, if you look at life as a thermometer, right? So if you're set at 75 and you can't get to 90, without getting through 76, 77, 78, right? So life is all about just making small incremental gains. Just get a little bit side out of your comfort zone and keep pushing that thermometer. And the more that you can do that on a regular basis, the more that helps you to realize your actual potential. A lot of us get comfortable, and when we get comfortable, we don't really ever understand what we're truly capable of. So the sages taught Julian that you just have to take these little micro steps, get a little uncomfortable, take that new job you really want, but it's a little bit out of your comfort zone, right? Go to that yoga class that might make you feel a little insecure for the first 2, 3, 4, or 5 classes, but maybe by the 6th, you're starting to feel comfortable. And then now you've set that thermometer from 75 to 77, right? So maybe now we can go to a different type of yoga class, or we can try some new positions to get to 78, 79. So again, this goes back to this principle of life mastery. And the only way that you continue to push out your maximum potential, and that's one of my greatest fears, is not maxing out my potential, is by constantly putting yourself in regular positions. We're going to be a little uncomfortable. Great example for me was on this Friday. I was invited to a golf tournament. I hadn't played in golf in over 2 years. I'm not a golfer. I was always into contact sports. I had a tremendous amount of anxiety about going to play golf. I knew it was going to be uncomfortable, but I just said, I've got to go. Got to do it anyway. It'll be great for me to network. I'm sure I'll have a lot of fun, and it'll get me that much better at golf by going. And sure enough, I went, played all 18 holes, had some great shots, had some really bad shots, but I did network. I had a lot of fun, met some really incredible people, and it was for a charitable cause, so it was a win-win-win, right? But had I just wanted to stay in my comfort zone and go, you know what, I'm not good at golf, I'm going to pass on the golf tournament, I would have missed out on a lot of great opportunities and learning experience. And now I'm more encouraged to go play golf than I ever have been before. So the last thing that they talk about that I want to, well, not the last thing they talk about, the last thing I'm going to talk about is goal setting. And I found it really interesting that in this book, the sages were really key on goal setting. You think that guys living up in the Himalayan mountains, like, what is there to, you know, set goals about? Like, what are you doing? But they really drilled down how important goal setting was. I'm going to read you a quote that they wrote in here. So there was this point in the book where he starts teaching the sage, the teacher, main teacher, starts teaching Julian about goal setting. So he takes him out to this forest, and the guy's a really good archer. He's practiced archery almost every day. So what he does is he goes and he hangs a rose up on a tree, walks 100 yards back, and puts on a blindfold. And he asks Julian, the trial lawyer, he says, have you ever seen me miss a shot from this distance? He goes, no, I've seen you hit that rose, you know, 3 times this distance. So with the blindfold on, steps back, hits the tree, but misses the rose by a good margin, right? And so what the point of it, the sage says, when he takes off the blindfold, is he has a quote, you'll never be able to hit a target you cannot see, right? So if you don't have targets in life, you can never hit them. And this is what goal setting is all about. If you're someone who says, man, I really wish I could make 6 figures, but you don't have goals on how you're going to hit 6 figures, you don't have your sights lined on 6 figures, and you haven't drawn your roadmap on how to get there, it's never going to happen. If you want to retire early and you haven't set up how much you need for retirement and then drawn a roadmap of the different types of assets that are going to get you there, you're never going to retire early. If you want to lose 30 pounds, but you don't set a deadline by when you need to lose the 30 pounds for, and then draw your roadmap of how many pounds it is per month, how many calories you eat per day, what type of exercises you need to work, then you're never going to get there, right? So goal setting, again, is something, if you're not doing it, only 3% of people set goals. But for me, it's been the one thing that when I hone in on my goals, I set goals for all pillars of my life, and I draw a roadmap. And this could be for a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. I think all those are important. But the premise of the book, and they really drill down on it, and I'm not going to get into specifics, it gives all kind of practical exercises for all of these things within the book of how to set goals, how to stay accountable for them, how to control your habits. All that is super important. So overall, I give the book 2 thumbs up. It was a really well-written book, a lot of fun to read, really practical advice. They don't just cover a topic and then not tell you how to accomplish it. They start talking about a topic, and then they give you practical exercises within a fiction book, which I think is pretty cool, about how to accomplish it. And so I really enjoyed that, things that I can now implement with inside of my life. So if you guys want to buy the book, drop down to the show notes. You can purchase it. I believe it was only around $10. It's only about 190 pages. So not too long of a book. You know, obviously I knocked it out in a week because that's my timeline to get the book turned around so I can put out these awesome videos. So go ahead, scroll down, buy the book if you want it. And if you guys haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube channel, whatever you're watching this on. Hit the subscribe button. I drop the videos once a week, the podcast once a week. Every Sunday, I bring you a new book that's going to be covering health, wellness, spirituality, leadership, sales, or anything just to overall help to elevate and optimize your life. So hope you guys like this. If you did, please leave me a thumbs up or shoot me a review for the podcast. It would be much appreciated. Take care. I'll talk to you guys soon.